views expressed on the following program of those of its hosts and participants and no way reflect those of the staff or management of WNRI.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action.
It's time for the John DePietro Show on News Talk, WNRI, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.
He's a special kind of sentinel.
Mr. DePietro, who is in the eye of the storm.
Suddenly, John DePietro became the story.
Radio talk show host John DePietro.
All right, here we go. Hour number three on this cold Monday. Good afternoon, one and all. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. This portion of the program is brought to you by Kay's. Stop in and see them. Lunch, dinner, or drink in the lounge. A great meal with friends is waiting for you at Kay's. Well, folks, let's bring him on. It's Political Monday, everything politics. Joining us right now, he's the managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. We want to say good afternoon to our friend Justin Katz. Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon, John.
Hey, Justin, I want to start off. We spoke last week, and then last Tuesday night. Let's start off with Governor Raimondo, her budget address. I want to get your thoughts about it. You know, there's been a lot written about it, and some of the things that just to kind of set the table on it, and I want to hear your thoughts. But what someone sent me a piece they had written that I thought was really in tune, that her budget, this is supposed to be the budget that kicks off her, you know, this is the beginning of her second term now in office. She obviously has four more years if she wants them to try to accomplish as much as you can. It was really, in some ways, like a thoughtless budget. It was almost, and we'll talk about it, but a budget put together. They went out of their way to try to keep it below $10 billion, even though just the 993, if it had just been a little bit more, it would have been rounded up to $10 billion. A big part of this was she didn't want to say $10 billion, but by all accounts, we both know it's really $10 billion. But it's more taxes and gimmicks, and it's her priority, and it's free college, and it's anti-business, and raise the minimum wage, and she also buried in it that she wants to put all this money towards the prison, which she never mentioned anything. She didn't talk about anything about marijuana. She didn't talk about all the scoops they're going to be doing with all these different agencies. Some people don't realize, but someone doesn't spend all the money. They just scoop it out of that and put it into something else. It was the type of budget that someone might submit in your final year in office where you're just kind of burnt out and you just go through the motions and it's kind of like trying to keep everything the same. And but before we hear your thoughts on it, and we'll talk about it, but what's just striking to me, and it's so, you know, no one even brings it up, is there's nothing about cutting spending. There's nothing about we need to shrink government. Government's far too big. There's no proposal to cut taxes. There's nothing remotely close to that. And then when you compare the budgets with some other states, I mean, Delaware has a budget, it's like 4-point-something billion. New Hampshire, which is larger than us and even more people, has a budget that's 5.7 billion. It is so out of whack. There's no point where she even talks about that reduction in workforce, cutting spending, government waste. You never hear those things about her. It's all about universal pre-K and raising minimum wage. And she really went off, as the journal said, the progressive checklist. So I'd like to hear, Justin Katz, your thought on what I thought was just a terrible, terrible, didn't even mention the fact she wants to legalize marijuana that would pay for that. The state's so reliant now on legalized gambling and drugs. But your thoughts and some of your opinions on the budget that she proposed.
Well, this budget, like every other budget she's put forward, every year it seems, I feel like you'll all be a little bit angrier every year, and it's just getting to be overwhelming where you read it and you shake your head. And I think that the two key points, one, you have to wonder if she's a profligate or a Puritan, is the way I put it on the Ocean State Current. Puritan. It's just on the Ocean State Current, sorry. The idea that we're going to create all these new kind of sin taxes, we're going to tax anything we don't like, whether it's guns or cigarettes, or what have you, and we're going to actually legalize a drug so we can tax it, or if she's just a profligate who wants to make all these things legal and then so the government can take tax money and spend it on whatever giveaway priorities they have. It's kind of a strange dynamic, but it's all about the finding more money so that, as you say, they don't have to tighten their belts at all. They don't have to reduce anything. I mean, they're going to increase hotel taxes and DMV and beach fees, and they're going to take some of the pressure off Providence by expanding their ability to tax nonprofits. And I mean, all of this stuff. They're going to slow down the car tax removal, and you mentioned the scooping of fees. That's actually just a hidden tax where the government said, okay, we're taxing a lot, so we're gonna allow a fee for this specific activity. Oh, well, the fee is too high, so they had extra money, so let's just take that and put it in a general fund. It's all these ways of just taking money and giving it to government. And not only that, the other piece of it that I found really outright offensive and economically ignorant and destructive is this idea that everybody has to eventually come and kneel before government. So
that's right.
They do this by giving stuff out, for one thing. We're going to give out universal pre-K for all families, which the studies I've seen are more and more showing that's actually harmful, because when you make pre-K universal, what you're doing is you're taking kids out of settings that might not be as convenient for their families but are better for the kids, whether it's one parent staying home or grandma or grandpa or a smaller community kind of pre-K that they go to, or parents helping each other out. That's really healthy for the kids. So when you pull those kids out and put them into pre-K, their results go down, and so much that overall results, especially in behavior, go down for students who get this kind of program. The research is still young on this, but that's pretty much what I've seen. And so you get that, or you get the free college, which is just going to push kids into college who maybe shouldn't go, and takes away some of that control, not only on the price of college, but also on who goes there and who thinks it's worth their time rather than, say, working. So that's one way they make you go kneel to government. And the other way is with the government, the business restrictions. So for 10 years, we've had the state of Rhode Island using mostly federal money, some local money, to advertise their Health Source Rhode Island, their health benefits exchange under Obamacare, push people into that. People fill out the form and say, hey, look, I'm eligible for Medicaid. And Medicaid enrollment has skyrocketed, and the costs have skyrocketed. And Rhode Island, you'll remember, expanded Medicaid almost as soon as they were allowed to do it under Obamacare.
That's right, yes.
It wasn't even discussed publicly. It was just assumed they're going to do it.
Yes.
And so now they're going to turn to businesses, and they're going to say, if you have 300 employees or more, we're going to make every employee, low-income employee you've got, 10% more expensive by charging you a 10% fee of their salary for Medicaid, which is insane. And then on top of that, the budget, and I don't know why this is a budget issue, why it's not just a separate bill, but the budget is wants to increase the minimum wage by another 6%. So you're going to be increasing, you take your most vulnerable people who are trying to make ends meet and doing the right thing, getting a job, they're not sitting at home trying to just collect, and you're going to make them 16% more expensive, which is going to make the economy generate fewer jobs for those people, whether they automate, the businesses move out of state, or they just make their employees work harder and find ways to be more productive. So that's just this ignorant, destructive approach to budgeting and to government that's just insane. And it's like a big red flashing light, either get out or don't come here. And this is the kind of thing where, you know, I feel like I say this almost every week based on something that somebody in the government does, but really ought to have people storming the state house and saying, this is ridiculous. This is nonsense. You should stop this. You're hurting us. And sadly, we don't really see that very often.
Well, I think because, number one, obviously people don't know how to approach it, Justin, but it would be so refreshing. And it's unfortunate because we have gone now down such a bad path of 4 years of Chafee, and now it's going to be 8 years of Raimondo, 12 years of basically, you know, I know it's an old term, but it's tax and spend liberals. Governor Kachiri was the last governor that used to talk about cutting spending, and they're addicted to spending, and the government's too heavy. And I remember, do you remember the time, you know, the Republican Party came under fire because they were saying the furlough of 1,000 state workers was a good start? The state workforce is, I believe, under Governor Raimondo now, it's the highest it's been in 10 years. It's going to go even higher. It will be over 15,000. And I think you and I both know, and a lot of people know, it's... Justin, it's completely unnecessary. There are duplicate jobs. These people don't live in the world of reality. If someone would come in, the state should have been designed, and I don't want to be totally not in reality, but in reality, the state to me, never should have a budget above $6 billion. And then you just work out your government around that money. Because if you kept it right around $6 billion, which is still even higher than New Hampshire, property taxes would be lower. Taxes in general would be lower. You wouldn't have all these government jobs. You'd have more companies coming in. You'd have to force accountability in schools. The incredible endless spending really becomes band-aids on the problem. But you never, you know, Raimondo, who came from the private sector, made a fortune as a venture capitalist. Her and her husband are very well off. It's their philosophy. You never hear her talk about the government is too big, there's too much spending, cities and towns and everything else. All these PR jobs that they hire and everything else, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It's insane that they're masking the problem. They're not solving any problems. They just come up with new gimmicks to tax things. And how many times are you going to tax cigarettes? Now they're going to tax Netflix. Now they're going to raise the beach fees again. It's, you know, in California, they're talking about they're going to start to tax drinking water. There's an easier way to do this. It does not have to be that way. It should be. We're going to cut $1 billion out of the budget. And then people, we don't need all these people in the state workforce. We're going to lower taxes. We're going to give people more money in their pocket. We're going to make it easy to do business. Justin, at no point are any of those things addressed by Governor Raimondo.
No, not at all. And that's because it's not the way she sees the world. She's a progressive. She's always been a progressive. She thinks government can figure this all out. Every solution is going to be, how can we just tweak this or tweak that? And make things so that we don't have to disrupt any of the inside deals, because that has become the focus of government and telling people what they can do, what they can't do, unless it's destructive, in which case they want you to be able to do it so that you have to come to government for counseling and help with your bills. That they'll let anybody do, and they can tax it as well. But that's how progressive government works. It's just layers and layers of insiders dealing each other new ways to make money, new ways to make their, you know, quote-unquote services necessary.
Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We'll speak with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. Justin, I want to touch on, it's in this morning's Providence Journal political scene, and this is something that, to me, part of the problem of people that live in Rhode Island who have never ventured outside of Rhode Island or don't look at the ways they do things in other states, they almost become oblivious to it. And it's blatant conflicts of interest. And sometimes there are problems and then people can't understand how come, gee, I wonder why, you know, just as an example, no one wants to build on the 195 land. But I think in this morning's Providence Journal that Kathy Gregg talks about, Senator Frank Chacon, who's held various titles with Labor's International Union of North America, most recently consultant to Local 808, is the new chairman of the Senate Labor Committee. So you have Senate President Dominic Ruggiero, who was high-ranking official with the laborers, and then he names Chacon, most recently a consultant. So another labor guy, another union guy. Then they also go into, he assigned a second labor leader, 8-member committee, newly elected Senator Val Lawson, school teacher and vice president of NEA Rhode Island. It is, Justin, this is the type of thing that in other states, anyone reasonable would look at this and see it for what it is, which is a blatant, undeniable conflict of interest. For anyone, it's actually insulting, as they always try to say that they can act independently and everything else. What people don't realize is the union people are thick as thieves. They will never vote against a union initiative. Never. And you've seen sometimes in a video when Raimondo was announcing for governor and the laborers, Sabatoni and that crew were with them, the Cranston firefighters who were protesting her were standing outside in a rational panic voice saying, union, brothers and sisters, what's going on? There's a picket line, union, brothers. Now, it actually wasn't a picket line. It was a protest line, not a picket line. But what people don't understand is they will never go against each other. Never. Zero will they go against each other. So it doesn't matter that, like, Chacon and Ruggiero, who are so labor guys, it doesn't matter that they're not school teachers. They would never vote against. anything that is union connected. That means the Evergreen bill. Of course, they're in favor of anything that, you know, is put in front of them that is tied in with public sector unions, and especially to have someone like that Val Lawson, for her to be on the committee, the labor committee. Justin, it's just shocking. No one in their right mind would want to do business with someone like that. You know, there was a joke before we get your answer, but there was a joke last night on Twitter that after the game, a member of the Rams posted on Instagram that he had traded jerseys with one of the refs of the Saints game because basically they didn't call pass interference with that play with the Rams and the Saints. And for someone to walk in and think they're going to get a fair shake of the Senate Labor Committee, when you have Dominic Ruggiero as the Senate president, you have Chacon as the leader of it, and then someone like Val Lawson, they're not representing the taxpayers. It's like that person sitting in the school committee down in South Kingstown. Their allegiance is not to the taxpayer. Their allegiance is to the union. It is a blatant, absolute blatant conflict of interest. And yet, it's just a minor blurb. And I credit Kathy Gregg and the Providence Journal for at least pointing it out. But you don't hear anyone else like even raise objection to it.
Well, I think the problem in that area is that it's just so absolutely commonplace right now that it's almost not even news. It's, you know, union owns Rhode Island. Oh, okay. That's a headline these days. It's just not even, it's not something that's surprising to anyone, I don't think. My favorite part of the whole idea, though, the whole deal is that they're going to recuse whenever they're dealing with, you know, their own locals or their own, as if, one, all of them aren't working together, and they do overlap quite a bit. I mean, you've got, even the NEA has private sector and public sector members.
Oh, yeah.
The Labor's Union has government employees in its membership, as does the AFL-CIO. They're all interwoven at the organizational level. And so not only is it kind of silly to say, well, I'll recuse from this specific local, but as if you're not going to know where your chairman stands on a question that affects his local, you know, and as if you're not going to consider whether that'll affect your ability to get, or the Senate president for that matter, your ability to get other legislation through. This is exactly what we're watching in action is what people predicted all the way back to Roosevelt, who opposed public sector unions. This is how they take over the government. It's in their interest to do it. There's nothing that's going to stop them. They have a right to run as candidates. There's only so much you can do to say, well, you're not eligible to run for office and people aren't eligible to vote for you. So you end up with this. And it's inevitable. And it's a great illustration that people really should pay some attention to. This is how they take over the government and ensure that there is no fair shot for anybody who disagrees with them. It's just their way, and that's the way it is until people wake up and revolt. And it'll be a very, very difficult fight when or if it ever comes. But they're entrenched, and they have been for a long, long time.
I think it's actually getting worse. This is one of the difficulties. Now, granted, if Mayor Fung had won the election, I'm not saying would have ended all of it. John Robitaille certainly would have slowed it down. Governor Kachiri was the last one. He spent 8 years trying to level the playing field, point it out. But I'd say 4 years under Chafee, now we're going to the fifth year of Raimondo. They're becoming more powerful, if it's possible. They're becoming more entrenched. This is another situation, Justin, where Rhode Island's actually out of step. I received an email that around the country, union membership, public sector union memberships, dropping at an all-time low because of the Supreme Court. Boy, you'd never know at Rhode Island, where the governor publicly announced, you know, she wasn't going to give out any information. The attorney general did the same thing. They still rule supreme. I also want to move on to the Providence Journal political scene, where more than half of the state lawmakers representing the city of Providence were on the city payroll. And, you know, this is a major problem because it kind of goes hand in hand. They feel that since they're a representative and they're going to be up at the state house, and I know the line they use, which is almost like, you need me advocating on your behalf. You need me almost as like a paid lobbyist up there. But when you look at who these reps are and how much they're paid, you know, Mary Ellen Goodwin, $48,000 plus, then she gets the money from being a state rep. Grace Diaz, $62,000 plus, she gets the money from the rep. Then Anastasia Williams, by all accounts, from what I've heard, it's like a no-show job. How about Deborah Falella is basically an office assistant She, and people need to realize, this is $50,000 plus then full benefit package. John Lombardi, $34,000. Scott Slater is like a consultant on the salaries or something, is $101,000. William O'Brien, $80,000. It, again, this is a situation, Justin, that you would think, how does someone say that they are not? Gordon Fox at one point was a rep, and then also, you know, they tap in on both of, hey, I have the juice, and so therefore, not only am I going to be a state rep for Providence, but I want to be on the city payroll. And, you know, I've heard stories of some of these jobs that these people have, which is they maybe go in the morning, and then they're gone at lunch, and then, of course, they're not around in the afternoon because they're up at the state house. So Providence taxpayers, I mean, this is, if these people are reps and they're up at the state house representing the city, to me, they should not be on the payroll for the city of Providence. Because from what I understand, these basically are like, you go in the morning, have some coffee, sit in a meeting, show your face, and then they are gone at lunchtime. One of them I had heard, they've never seen her in the office past 12 o'clock. And that's when she comes in. But again, this also comes out to, they're all Democrats. No one rats on anyone. The entire council is controlled by Democrats. So there's no balance, Justin, of anyone saying like, hey, wait a minute, time out. You know, should we be paying someone who's just like an office assistant $50,000? The reason she's getting $50,000 a year is because she's a state rep. The reason this person has some of these jobs, renewal inspector and Office of Economic Opportunity, and, you know, some of these jobs, Justin, I just refuse to believe these are full Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 jobs. But this is another, the biggest example to me of the jobs are given to the, they're not just politically connected, they're the political, they're the elected reps.
Oh yeah, and well, we talked last week about the job the city just created for Aaron Regenberg.
That's right, yes.
As an activist, basically. And yeah, it's all one piece. This is how, some of them are real jobs. I do have some suspicions about the Office of Economic Opportunity and what that entails as far as work for those folks. But some of them are real jobs. But a private sector employer isn't going to be able to say, you know what, hey, for 6 months, I realize you're going to be essentially working full-time somewhere else. And that's no problem. I mean, private sector companies can't do that so much. But government, hey, it's all play money to them. But it is, as I'm saying, all one big piece of how they all rub each other's backs and piece together very, very good livings. I mean, we were just talking about Frank Chacon in the Senate. He, between him and his wife, they're taking home 5 pensions from government, including Providence. His wife has a pension from Providence and the unions. So 5 pensions for them are pieced together to make them very, very wealthy people. And this is how that happens. And they peddle around the influence. And, you know, everybody makes their special deals. And it's all for this insider group. And whoever can buy them off gets a little cut. And we see that. And the big problem we're seeing now, you mentioned it's getting worse, is that the executive branch has fallen under this, the weight of this, and is now basically operating by the same principles, whereas before, at least you had the executive branch kind of pushing back, and they had to temper their insider dealing in order to get something past the governor and at least not make it, have it become a giant political controversy. But so, yeah, they're just completely entrenched and self-dealing, and at this point, there's not much at all standing in their way.
There isn't, and no one speaks out against it. If anything, Justin Katz, the feeling is people then aspire to get themselves in that type of position of like, wow, that would be really great. Not only are you a state rep and you get those benefits, but then you grab a job at the city, and it's basically a lot of times, let's face it, it at the most, it's a part-time job. At times, it becomes even, it could be a no-show job. Notice no one ever gets fired. The only time anyone ever gets fired from the city or the state is if there's some kind of a controversy that the news media gets a hold of. But you never hear of people, there's no turnover. They're guaranteed jobs. And so therefore, other people around them, you know, no one speaks out and says, hey, you know, maybe it's a conflict of interest. These people, you know, should not have this type of job. Instead, they around them aspire that, boy, that's something I would like. You know, you get a job with the city, so then you're all set, because those are like jobs for life. And then you become a rep, and then you become even more. And then there's nothing stopping them from being involved with different endeavors or consultancies or all. It's It's you use your government position, whether as a city worker or more importantly as a rep or city council person, as a way to then find a way to make money. That's what they're there for, is ways to make money. And the more that you can do that, the more that's what they aspire towards. I also want to get into this situation. Also, I want to say good afternoon to everybody who's tuning in on Facebook Live. If you go to my Facebook page, it's John DePietro Show, and then you can interact that way and leave comments. A lot of comments on that situation with the Warwick teacher who, because of that viral video. Good afternoon, Captain Chris. This is Judy Fiore and Sydney Neal, and a lot more. But Justin, the Providence Journal has the editorial. To me, Commissioner Wagner and Governor Raimondo now has admitted, she did a series of interviews over the weekend. She did Channel 10, she did Channel 12, admitted, you know, he's come to her now saying maybe it's time, he's going to move on. They're trying to figure out the right time, which really means they're giving him time to find a new job so he can jump to something else. But as much as the Journal is beating him up, and they did what he was saying, you know, there were only four classrooms that he felt that were really being challenged, over 300 schools and timid reforms. Justin, I believe, to me, this is a situation of Governor Raimondo, and I remember the timeline, because I was friendly with Education Commissioner Deborah Gist, and I used to communicate with her. And right away, the Raimondo people made it very clear to her that they had no intentions of keeping her. So they made it very clear. It's behind the scenes. Deborah Gist, suddenly we learn, is leaving to go back to where she was from. And then Raimondo brings in Ken Wagner. But to me, the real story here is Raimondo wanted someone she could control. She hired a puppet. This guy, no matter what ideas he may have had, he fell in line. He basically did as he was told. He didn't, you know, buck orders. He went along with it. He even went along with delaying the test scores that were supposed to be out October 1st and played the company line. Oh, yeah, there was a computer glitch, and they're not ready till after the election. And now that the election is over and there's heat, what she's going to do for her last 3 to 4 years in office is, boom, I have a new education person. We're going to put new things in. He agreed to kind of be the straw man in a way, the fall guy. As soon as it was done, she's done with him, boom, pushed out the door, and now they're going to try to let him land somewhere else, even though he's highly, highly paid, and she'll bring in someone new. But to me, she is really her, Matty Yellow. They have sat on the sidelines. They cut off Education Commissioner Deborah Gist at the knees as she was trying to implement some standards. When people, you know, and Wagner said, and I'm glad the Journal mentions this, Justin, in their editorial, they love to say in Rhode Island, it's nobody's fault. Let's not blame anybody. Let's not point fingers. There was, before I forget, there was a great line. There's a special on Netflix for the Fire Festival, and it talks about that festival this kid in New York tried to do where he was delusional. He thought he was going to have this big Coachella in the Bahamas, and his name is Billy McFarlane. And as people were trying to, you'll laugh at this, but as people were trying to raise objections, like what you're talking about is not realistic, like there's not enough power supplies, we can't get these things down there. His line was, we are a company, we don't focus on problems, we focus on solutions. And when you take that mentality, Justin, no one's ever held accountable. Because anyone time someone brings up, hey, you know, so-and-so made a mistake, they immediately turn it to, let's focus on how we're going to fix it. Let's not point fingers, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's such a nonsensical, unworkable way. It does not work in the real world. And to me, I'm glad the Journal points out, Wagner's like, listen, this is nobody's fault. There is somebody's fault. Somebody is at fault. Matty Yellow cut off with Gist. Raimondo did not implement standards. They are to blame for this whole thing. And they can make Wagner the fall guy and push him out the door. But there's still people, you know, led by Barbara Cotton with that Board of Education. They haven't done anything. And Raimondo knew about these problems. She hasn't done anything. And so for them now to be, you know, blowing the whistle, oh, we got to fix the education system, that they haven't done anything over the past couple of years. No one's done anything. They have no one to blame but themselves.
Oh, exactly. And I thought some of the most telling, you know, Wagner may say it's nobody's fault, but if you read not the editorial, but the Linda Borg article from earlier in the week, interviewing him, you can see essentially him saying, yeah, it's our fault. Yeah, we can see that. You know, they asked him, should we have should we have high stakes testing, you know, as a graduation requirement, you have to pass a test. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Maybe we shouldn't have canceled that. But, you know, we don't want to re-implement it now. We want a couple more years to figure everything out, because otherwise, and he put his finger right on it. Otherwise, we'll go into this with everybody believing that the state will blink, that at the end of the day, they're not going to impose graduation requirements on kids who haven't been adequately prepared by their school systems. And that's exactly what happened, and it's exactly what's going to happen now. And you know, you can read these things and know exactly what we've been saying for a few weeks as all this has germinated, that what they're looking for now is a way to look like they're reforming and maybe even improve education without raising the objections of all their special interests, most notably the teachers union. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to find that way to thread the needle to maybe get some improvement despite the entrenched powers. And I wouldn't be optimistic, and it's going to be interesting to see who they find to replace Wagner, because who would want to come into this environment as somebody with actual ideas on how to improve education? I mean, judging by, as we were talking earlier, labor committee people being from labor, maybe, you know, Raimondo will hire somebody out of the NEA. Maybe we can get Bob Walsh to be the education commissioner and he'll figure out the best way to improve our education system here, or Pat Crowley perhaps. But this is what they're going to do. And so I don't see how they're going to find somebody who's really going to make any changes. It's not a good time to be entering into our public schools in Rhode Island, because they're essentially telling you we are not going to improve things for years to come. And even after that, we'll have years and years of adjusting to the metrics, and then they'll do what they've always done and change the test or change something and say, oh, well, we've got to restart the clock now. It's like when I was a kid and we had laser tag, you know, you'd shoot each other with laser beams and you'd get up to five lights went off and you
right.
were out of the game, and there was always that one kid who would reset it and go, okay, now everybody can reset it. No, you had four and we had one
right.
shot. And that's what they do. Every couple of years, they reset the test. They go, oh, no, we're going to restart the clock, and now we mean it. And it's another area where the idea that people aren't outraged at such an obvious scam and such an obvious abuse of children in our system is deeply disturbing, that this is something they kind of chuckle by on. And we can't forget, even with the Providence Journal editorial, they endorsed Raimondo. None of this is surprising.
That's
nobody
right.
nobody was sitting around going, you know what, these test results that they're delaying, I bet they're really fantastic. Nobody was saying that. This was visible. And yet we keep playing this game like it's business as usual and we're just all trudging along and, hey, look, our unemployment rate is the same as the national average. Of course, we've lost a huge percentage of our labor force, and that's why the unemployment rate is low. But this big game has to stop. And I'm not seeing the mechanism, but it is at least nice that Wagner is giving us little clues at the insider game here. And if somehow we can only hope, I guess, that somebody with a little bit more zeal will somehow find his or her way into that job and actually force change. I'm not optimistic, but I guess it's possible. If you roll the dice, we gamble around here a lot, I guess.
That's right. You know what you're right on the money on. And folks, again, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. We speak with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. You know, Justin, you actually just hit the nail on the head. To me, the way they would bring someone in would be if someone went to the doctor, and a lot of doctors and people find this, you have a patient who's obese and they eat, you know, the wrong things in the morning, and they eat a lot of junk food, and they don't exercise. And basically what Rhode Island is saying is, we want to lose weight with education, and we don't want to exercise. No, excuse me. We don't want to exercise. We want to eat all these junk foods, but we still want to lose weight. And you can't do it that way, because what they're going to say is, you can't change anything or upset anybody, but you got to improve things. And I would argue you can't do that. You have to either the person's in charge or they're not in charge. They went out of their way to set up roadblocks for GIST just when they could have started to make some kind of stand to move things forward. They blinked, and then that was the end of it. But when you talk about, you know, you're exactly right. Wagner, with that interview with Linda Borg, saying, on the high rates of chronic teacher absenteeism, particularly in Providence and Central Falls, the average teacher is out sick 22 sick days a year. Wagner said the typical response is to blame teachers, and he said that's not fair. Well, Justin, let's look at that. I mean, who is it that's calling in sick? I mean, if you don't blame the teachers, who exactly are you going to blame? And the teachers, especially in Providence, you know, they're very brazen. Mary Beth Calabro, and they were, a year ago, they shouted down Alorza's speech and all this other stuff and protesting outside where the kids were supposed to go, and we want a new contract and blah, blah, blah. No one ever speaks up against them. And if you're not going to blame the high rate of absenteeism, chronic, on the teachers that are the ones calling in sick, someone's accountable with this. And I think that's a pretty good place to start. Now, if you want to say he's like, well, you know, it's the culture and you got to change. You're not going to change the culture. Because as I've said earlier, as we've talked about this, okay, so the test scores came out and they were terrible and everyone's upset about them. Has the union lost any money? No. Have any of the teachers lost any money? No. Have any of the retired teachers lost any money? No. Has one teacher lost a sick day, a vacation day, a raise for moving up in senior? No. Nothing has changed. So why would they care? The system is built to fail because it's not built on actual achievement or performance. It's built on it doesn't matter. If you're a lousy third grade teacher and you are right next door to the best third grade teacher in the state, in the country, you're paid the same. There's no difference. There's no incentive to do better. There's no incentive to work harder. And also, Justin, before I let you go, notice Raimondo very shrewdly, she turns the conversation into let's make universal pre-K. See, they don't want to talk about the failing high school students. They don't want to talk about the fact that the CCRI thing is basically not working. Let's go younger and turn it into universal pre-K, because that is what is going to help her out on the campaign trail. I want to get your final thought on it.
Yeah, well, to double down on your analogy of the two third grade teachers next to each other, if you're the worst third grade teacher next to the best in the country, and you were hired the year before, you are actually in a better standing position than that person. So not only are you equally paid, just because you were hired earlier, you are in a better position. You're going to keep your job longer than the best teacher in the country next door to you. That's just the way the system works. And it's not a functional thing. It's all set up to benefit the adults and to get them more goodies. And Wagner did say, he you got to change the culture. Well, in some respects, he can't blame the teachers for taking what's been handed to them. But what you have to change is the structure that allows this unionized control of our government to impose all these rules on our state in a way we're able to educate our children. And that's not going to happen unless we get some very, very vocal people. I mean, next week is they're having a bunch of school choice events in Rhode Island. It's an annual thing now, but it really ought to get more traction than it does. If we had that, we'd have a chance, because then the schools would have to actually compete for their students, and the bottom might fall out from under them. But I'm not optimistic about that.
No. And not only that, but the way Senate labor is going and the way that a lot of the progressives have moved in on the House, I would think if there's going to be, the Evergreen contract passed, when that happens, it really starts to become the death knell. I really believe you can only keep falling so far. All we're seeing is Band-Aids. And it is a leadership thing. It would be the right type of person that truly want to improve things. And you're not... Raimondo has no intentions at all. She doesn't want any fights. She doesn't want any disagreements. She wants to enrich her resume to propel her forward. And anything she introduces is then going to be introduced out on the stump in an effort to help her raise money for, go national office. Folks, he is the managing editor of OceanStateGuardian.com. He's Justin Katz. Justin, great to talk to you, and we'll talk to you again.
Likewise. I look forward to next week.
All right, folks, there it is. Justin, who is always terrific here on the John DePietro Show. I want to say good afternoon to everybody on Facebook Live. Facebook Live brought to you by EliteWirelessRI.com. EliteWirelessRI.com. There's Captain Chris and Judy and Cindy. Yeah, they're going to start taxing Netflix. How about that? Ridiculous. That Fyre Festival is... really worth watching. The Fyre Festival is worth watching on Netflix, and The Informer is worth watching on Amazon Prime. As far as if you're off today and it's freezing out and maybe later you want to binge watch something, I highly recommend many of the things on Netflix, especially The Crown, if you haven't watched that. It is just terrific. And also, Ozark is also terrific. I've tried that Schnitz Creek or whatever. I didn't get it. I watched it for 40 minutes and I didn't laugh once. But anyhow, all right, with that, phone lines are open. It's 146 from now to the top of the hour, 766-1380, 766-1380. In case you're just turning on the radio, and again, it is a big day to celebrate the Patriots. It was an unbelievable game last night. Tremendous, one of the best victories ever, ever. Certainly for the playoffs, but in Patriots history, one of the greatest victories last night. The numbers, the ratings are off the charts. Huge. But the biggest injustice that is happening is what happened to those high school kids. Those high school kids, and now what I'm seeing on Twitter, are all these political organizations are trying to delete tweets they put out because they were throwing those kids out of the bus. Celebrities are trying to delete tweets. But it's terrible. Another example. This is why people hate the media. It's not fair. It's not balanced. And then some of these people like that, Melissa Alano, you know, if you wear a red Trump hat, that's the modern day equivalency of wearing a white hood. That is absurd. They're high school kids. They were at a march for life. They were minding their own business. Some full-time professional agitators went in and tried to instigate a fight with them. And none of the media went after. There were four African-Americans who were shouting vile obscenities at those high school students. No one has profiled them. No one has identified them. No one has said who they are. Put their pictures up. Put their names up. No. What do they do? These high school kids from Kentucky are getting death threats for doing nothing. Terrible. And Cicilline and Raimondo and Sheldon Whitehouse, look, those kids should be expelled. Those kids are terrible. Look at them. And Elizabeth Warren, they were berating that Indian man. They were not. He was fighting with them. Let's go to your calls. Good afternoon. You're next on the John DePietro Show. Hello.
John, I couldn't get through to your show. I wanted to speak to about...
You're on right now. You did get through. You're on right now. Go right ahead.
You know, I just wanted to say that Gloria's governor, when she was making her speech about the state of the state, she didn't mention nothing about seniors.
No.
And nothing about veterans.
Nothing. Zero.
Nothing. Like, they don't even exist no more.
Because they don't in her mind. They don't. There's a reason for that. She doesn't care about them. She already won. So yeah. That means the election, you know, if she goes out on the stump, Fred, and starts giving her campaign speech, when she's at a fundraiser, someone's holding a fundraiser for her, and it's a room full of progressives, if she starts talking about the elderly, they're not going to give her money. If she starts talking about veterans, these people are anti-military. It's no longer about that. It's all about she's only going to say things that are going to help her out on the campaign trail, because she is still campaigning and trying to raise her profile and raise money.
Now, all of a sudden, you know, this state is definitely dependent now also now on gambling.
Yes.
And it looks like we're going to be selling, you know, cannabis.
Yep.
At the same time.
Yes.
But she made a statement. No one will be growing pot in their home. Now, what happens to people with the medical cards?
Well,
paying $100.
Right. And then that's ridiculous. How are they going to control that? They can't control something like that. What do you mean no one's going to be growing it?
Well, I mean, you know, unless they want to fly over to people's houses and use infrareds and look down. I mean, they
yeah, because the state has so much money for that. They don't have any resources for that. She also said it's going to be done in a very protective manner and kept away from children. Well, I mean, that's another stupid statement. I mean, that's all like talking points. None of that's true. You can't do that. Well, the toothpaste is out of the tube, period.
John, they just want to grab as much money as they can. She wants to grab as much money as she can just to keep everything flying and just keep giving away things. Away more.
That's right.
Give away more.
Yep.
This way, more will come here, more will come here, more will come in. The same thing you brought up earlier about all these reps that got jobs at City Hall in Providence. I mean, even a senator that's working in probate court, he was a senator and he got bit. He got bit and got thrown out.
Yep.
Good for him. You know, and like, you know, now we just gave another rep a job.
Yeah. One job after another.
And they're all connected.
They are.
They're all connected.
Yep.
It's like one big family.
It is. And then people aspire to that. And it's a combination, Fred, of extortion, but then it's also a combination of, you know, listen, if you want me up there advocating on behalf of the city, you got to give me a city job. I mean, it's ridiculous. If anything, you should make sure that there's no rep that's on the city payroll. None. So you don't have a conflict of interest in any way. But they squeeze them and shake them down for it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. What's his name? John Lombardi.
Yeah,
he became
that's right.
a judge again.
Yes.
I mean, you know, he's a judge.
I think he's eligible for like 4 pensions. Serious. I mean, it's a joke.
Yeah. I mean, he was the council president, you know, he just...
Acting
goes
mayor.
On and
yeah.
on and on and on.
Yes.
I mean, when does it stop? When the state really just has to say, hey, we're busted. We're busted out. Who wants to take us?
This is the ultimate. What is apparent right now, Fred, is it's just going to be more of kicking the can down the road. Raimondo, none of these people have any intentions of actually fixing the problem. None. Because if any rational person, you wouldn't have a $10 billion budget if you were trying to fix the problem. This is, they are trying to, it's like a team where it's starting to drizzle and they want to get the game in before it's a total downpour. They're just trying to finish and get the hell off the field.
Well, I'll tell you right now, what she said during the State of the State, and then all the numbers she was throwing out, and then I seen her on an interview with on 2 different channels.
Yeah, she was on 10 and 12 over the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, really, everything's laughable. Everything's a smile. Everything's like lovey-dovey.
Yeah, she doesn't care. She's checked out.
It's not lovey-dovey in this state.
No.
But we already said this. Before she even took her oath, where she couldn't even wear a hat that day.
No.
It was blowing. It was like she looked like a witch.
Yeah, terrible.
I don't know where her head was. So someone should have been on top of that. But either way, we were saying this way before she took the second
oath. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She checked out. As soon as she got elected, she said, okay, now I'm on my way.
Yeah, that's
where
right.
Where do I go? Networking. How much can I raise? What do I want
to get? She's been trying to get out of here for a while. If you go back to 2016, that entire summer, the summer of 16 and then in the fall, she never campaigned with one Democrat candidate. She was up in New Hampshire raising money for Hillary. She was out on the campaign trail for Hillary. She fully expected that Hillary was going to be the president and then she was going to get a big role within that administration. She's actually been trying to get out of here for a while. This was merely, I did it, I've had the experience, and now she wants to get the hell out of there. She is hoping, through her networking with the Democrat Governor Association being the head, that she's praying that someone will beat now President Trump. And it's, from what I understand, because it's now such a crowded field, she was maybe going to jump in, but now feels, you know what, the hell with it. I'll wait my turn. I won't get in the mixed up with this. And then she'll pray that some Democrat will be elected, and then she'll get a role in the administration. That's her new goal. So that's the direction you're going to see her move into. But she doesn't want it because, Fred, let's face it, Governor Kachiri, you go back 10 years ago, and actually a little more than 10 years ago, but you had 2 Republicans. Actually, let's say go back to 2005. You had 2 Republicans who were trying to really reform and change things, and it was Laffey and Cranston, and it was Kachiri as governor, right? And you had 2 people that were committed, we need to cut spending, and you can't have all these outrageous deals. And they were actually shining a light on a lot of these union deals that were terrible, and the crossing guards getting free health care for life, and Kachiri saying we don't need all these state workers and all this other stuff. But right now, Fred, you look around, you don't have either one on the scene. There's no one in elected office that even highlights these things. The closest thing we have is, he's not even holding elected office, but the closest thing we have is Ken Block. Ken Block continually, as a citizen now, not an elected official, he goes through and highlights a lot of the ridiculous spending, and they take advantage and what they've been doing at Warwick and everything else. But Fred, right now, everyone's just going along with the party.
Yeah, and you want to know something? I think it's going to be a big party this year. because you want to know why? Now we got the gambling.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing the cannabis.
Yep.
So between the gambling and the cannabis, I would say that's going to pull in 40 mil.
I don't know. It could. And if that's the case, then that, thank you for the call, Fred. That will, they're not going to talk about cutting spending. That just then justifies the spending. Freddie, thank you. Folks, 766-1380. This portion of the program brought to you by Kay's. Stop in and see them. Cass Avenue, Woonsocket. Lunch, dinner, drink in the lounge. Stop in and see them at Kay's. I also want to remind you, now I know that it's cold outside, but a lot of people this time of year, you're inside more. Maybe you're working on some inside projects. Remember our friends at Mega Disposal, MEGA, local family owned and operated trash recycling collection company. Mega Disposal, MEGA. Call them at 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash recycling collection services, and they can get a dumpster to your home or place of business. If you're doing an estate clean out or a construction job or an entire household, whatever it is, maybe this time of year you're having some work or doing some work inside your home and you need a dumpster, call Mega, MEGA Disposal, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. Mega Disposal, local family owned and operated trash recycling collection company serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. For Mega Disposal. Well, folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. If you want to get in a last-minute comment, 401-766-1380, 401-766-1380. You can email me, john@depietro.com, john@depietro.com. Again, I mentioned scathing editorial in this morning's Providence Journal about the Education Commissioner Wagner. Listen, he was brought in as a puppet. He is a puppet. He was not brought in to do reform. He was just brought in to go along, get along, and now that the test scores are terrible, of which I don't know why they wouldn't be terrible, now he's being used as a fall guy for Governor Raimondo. She's just throwing him under the bridge, and they don't want to fire him. So they're saying they're trying to find the right time, which means they're saying we need to make a change, and we want to give you a chance to find another job. So he's out trying to find another job right now. And at the same time, the Raimondo people are reaching out and they seem to have their sights set on a replacement. And they're trying to land someone that was one of the finalists for the Massachusetts Education Commissioner. But to me, the big story of the day is the disgraceful actions of the media towards those high school kids that had the red Trump hats on in Washington. The way they were depicted, that they were mocking and attacking that Native American man. They were not. That guy was a professional instigator. He lied about it. And now those kids are facing the ramifications for it. That is, to me, the real story of the day.
He's John DePietro. He's really in the know with his talk show on your radio. He's John DePietro.
Listen, it's John DePietro. Stay warm. My goodness, it's cold out. We're back tomorrow at 11. Stay tuned. The Dion Experience is next right here. It's AM 1380. Remember, email me, john@depietro.com, and follow me on both Facebook and Twitter at John DePietro Show. Stay warm. I'll see you tomorrow right back here at 11 a.m.
WNRI and W236CW Woonsocket, 1380 AM and 95.1 FM.